shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of the International Happy Station Show. It's nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. We have a number of things actually to get to on the show today. In a few moments, Peter Anthony Holder, host of the Stuff File program, will join us to talk about the odd stories from 2010, including some new ones that recently just happened. He'll be coming up very soon. Also, I want to take a couple of moments to tell you about a new survey that we're running for our media program, Media Network Plus. So we have that, plus some music, and, for more music. So we're going to begin right away with Long John Baldry and Let the Heartaches Begin here on the International Happy Station.
Just can't help.
The wonderful Long John Baldry with Let the Heartaches Begin for the second International Happy Station show for this new year. And I want to thank all of you who wrote in saying that you enjoyed the show that we did for the live show that we did from Taipei 101. And are there any pictures? Yes, there are pictures. And I've been going through them. And I'll be uploading some very soon at our website, which I'll give out a little later on in the show. Now, there are many of you that have been enjoying our program, Media Network Plus. In the month of December, we took a look at the radio freedom or media freedom in Ukraine, as well as a bunch of radio bloopers. The show for January is going to be a fascinating one because we're involving you. That's right, you, the listener. Now, there's going to be two things on that show coming up this month. And one of them is going to be because I want to find out what you, the audience, think about what happened to international broadcasting. Now, if you go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on Media Network Plus, you will find a survey up there. It's three in three questions, okay? And I'll go through them right now so you'll know what to look out for. So if you go to Media Network Plus page at pcjmedia.com, underneath the picture of Paulette McCrory and myself, you'll see a thing that says, do you want to take the survey? Click yes. Now, you can only take the survey once, meaning once from the computer that you're using. If you want to do it again, you have to go to another computer because after you fill out the survey, the next time you go to that page, it won't be there. And I set it up like that so people don't keep answering the same question over and over to get a better score. But anyway, the first question on the survey is, who do you think is to blame for the decline in shortwave broadcasting from the West? And there are six choices. The choices are, number one, poor management. Number two, the slow change in programming after 1989. Out of touch with listeners. Some people feel that international broadcasters are out of touch with listeners. Number four, changing technology. Number five, geopolitical changes, of course, around the world. And the sixth one is staff in most international broadcasting stations do not know what shortwave is. And believe it or not, that's actually quite true. So then you make your choice, and you can make a few choices which you think is the best one. Then if you click to the next question is, can the decisions be reversed? Can the decisions made be reversed? Meaning the decisions to cut back on international broadcasting. It's two answers, yes or no. And if I look at the results right now, it's sort of neck and neck. And then when you click to the third one, this is where you can actually leave your own comments. And we've had so many fascinating ones that have come in. I'm not going to give them out right now because, well, that's going to be for Media Network Plus later this month. And the question is, if you could sit down with the management, staff, and governments from international broadcasters, what would you tell them? And I don't think there's a limit to your answer. In fact, some of them are quite long. So, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on that and make your comments and your feelings known about international shortwave broadcasting. We also have a number of comments that have come to us on Facebook, and we'll be using those as well. And by the way, please do include your contact information because when we record the show, we never know. We may just give you a call. You can find out all that information at www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Now, at this very moment, some of you are saying, wait a second, Keith, you sound a little bit different than you did before the end of last year. Well, that's actually a simple reason. We just now, at this very moment, installed a couple of new microphones in our studio. Actually, it's not exactly a new microphone. The microphone that I'm using now, believe it or not, is over 50 years old. It's an over 50-year-old Neumann microphone, and we just had it repaired. And there's a reason we're using this microphone, and we're going to keep that for another show. I don't want to give out too many details on that right now. Okay, time now for more music. This is a CD, actually, that I picked up over the holidays. It's called The Seekers, The Ultimate Collection. Many of you will know The Seekers. They were very big in the 1960s. Here they are with Don't Think Twice, It's All Right on the International Happy Station.
It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, it don't matter anyhow. When the rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's all right. There ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. That light I'll never know. There ain't no use in turning on your light, babe.
I'm on the dark side of the road.
Still I wish there was something you would do or say to try to make me change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's all right.
There ain't no use in calling out my name down like you never did before. There ain't no use in calling on my name, girl. I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering all the way down the road. I once loved a woman, a child I'm told. Gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul.
Don't think twice, it's all right. I'm going down that long, lonesome road, girl. Where I'm bound for, I can't tell. Goodbye's too good a word, girl. So I'll just say fare thee well. Now I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kinda wasted my precious time. Don't think twice, it's alright.
Don't think twice, it's alright.
Don't think twice, it's alright.
Don't think twice,
it's alright.
Joining us now on the Happy Station is Peter Anthony Holder of the Stuff File program. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Keith.
How are things in your part of the world, and did you have a good New Year's?
It's been a great New Year so far. Everything is just tickety-boo. I got a question for you, though.
Yes?
I mean, we here in North America refer to where you are as the Far East. I'm just curious to know what you in the so-called Far East call us over here.
We call you the Far West.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to check.
But you know, it makes me wonder, like, why can't you guys just call us, you know, the Far West?
Either way, either or. Somebody flipped a coin, I guess.
Flipped a coin or what's his name? Marco Polo went the wrong way or something.
Oh, you know that game? Marco Polo.
Anyway, you haven't been here for a while. Let's kick off right away with some of the wacky things that are going on.
More than happy to. Let's start off with a story. Do you remember the television show MacGyver?
Of course. I'm just in the middle of watching the third season right now on DVD.
Oh, okay. So you know he was able to make anything out of anything, basically.
Yes. I mean, I remember one episode he took a toilet and he blew up a whole city block.
Well, there you go. So this might be using what's available to the nth degree. Keith Jeffrey's book on the British Intelligence Service, The Secret History of MI-16, which was published in September, serialized in the London Times. It revealed that the first chief of the SIS, the Secret Intelligence Service, during World War I, recommended as the best invisible ink, semen.
Huh?
Apparently, the best invisible ink had semen in it. It would not react to ink-detecting iodine vapor and was, of course, readily available.
And was it something available on submarines? Ba-boom, boom.
I don't know. But would you like to know the name of the man who came up with this idea?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Couldn't make this up if I tried. Mansfield Cumming.
Okay.
Yes. Moving back along, since I know you always like to start off with stories that have a sex connotation in it in some way, shape, or form, let's continue by going to Gurnee, Illinois. 56-year-old Carolee Bildson has been charged with aggravated assault for allegedly attacking a police officer with what the Gurnee police commander, Jay Patrick, called a rigid feminine pleasure device. What could that be? Police got involved after Carolee allegedly ran out of Joe's Crab Shack. Oh, Lord, that's too easy. Without something she allegedly had done before. Now, the assault apparently occurred when a police officer went to Carolee's residence to investigate, and she just happened to have the sex toy at the ready.
Okay.
Moving right along, we go to Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. A Wisconsin postal carrier says he simply wanted to cheer up a woman on his rounds who seemed stressed out when he decided to deliver mail in the buff. But upon further review, the worker told police that delivering mail while completely naked probably wasn't a good idea. A police report said the 52-year-old man told the woman he would deliver the mail in the nude to her office in Whitefish Bay to make her laugh. The report says that on December 4th, he brought the mail wearing only a smile. The mail carrier was arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior several days later. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the man admitted delivering the mail naked was a stupid thing to do. Now, speaking as a guy, I have a point here. This postal worker must have the world's greatest self-esteem because no guy I know wants to get naked to make a woman laugh. Do you agree?
Exactly. I mean, okay. Yeah. And is he still employed with the post office?
It's hard to get fired from the post office because, you know, they'll think you'll come back with a gun the next day. Moving right along, we go to a place I love, Picayune, Massachusetts. I just love these names. Continuing our naked theme, a man caught in the buff in a South Mississippi church cemetery says he was trying to take photographs of spirits. Now, Robert Hurst told a Picayune Item newspaper that he shed his clothes because he believes skin is the best canvas to show spirits orbs of energy. The 47-year-old said he only intended to remove his shirt, but he took off all his clothes, a move he now calls stupid. Do you see a theme here? Authorities had set up a motion-activated camera to try to catch vandals. Now, Shane Tucker, the chief deputy of the Pearl River County, said Hurst was not accused of vandalism, but the camera caught an unexpected image of Hurst naked. Hurst faces a misdemeanor charge of indecent exposure. Now, I want to know, indecent to whom? Since at night, the only people who would be seeing him are dead or spirits. Can you really be indecent to a spirit? Now, we just had the Christmas holiday, of course, and a lot of people do a lot of Christmas shopping, of course, at that time of the year. And some people do some, shall we say, Christmas shoplifting. Aileen Brown, age 28, and Schmecko Vashon Johnson, I don't know who named him, age 37, were arrested at a department store in Edmond, Oklahoma, after allegedly shoplifting and concealing the stolen items in the folds of their body fat. Now, you might be... That's what I thought, too. You might be thinking jewelry or other small items, but police found a wallet and gloves, a pair of jeans, a pair of boots, and other items worth more than $2,500, which is enough to make the charges felonies. Now, which job, Keith, would you rather prefer? The officer who had to search them or the store clerk who had to accept the returns?
Okay, you just put this really bad image in my head right now.
There you go. And while we're in that general vein, first rule of getting caught, no matter how obvious it looks, deny everything. In Bradenton, Florida, Jessie Lynn Clark actually pulled out oxycodone and Xanax pills from her crotch during a traffic stop and immediately told officers they weren't hers. Now, the pills were wrapped in a paper towel, and Miss Clark told officers that the driver of the vehicle had told her to put the drugs down her pants. The driver denied this, so Miss Clark was charged with 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance and got to spend the night in jail. Now, ladies listening to this right now, if you put stuff down your pants because someone asked you to, that is true love.
Here's a grenade, dear.
Now, I don't know what it's like where you live, the judicial system, but there are people in North America who are forever trying to find a way to get out of jury duty. Is it like that where you are?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well then...
there's one way to do it here.
What's that?
You have to claim that you're mentally unbalanced.
Oh, okay.
So we actually have a lot of mentally unbalanced people because people don't want to do jury duty.
Well, there you go. Well, we've discovered a surefire way to avoid jury duty. Just tell the jurors that your childhood friend was Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm not making this up. In Cleveland, John Backdurf was among prospective jurors being screened just a few weeks ago, actually. When asked if he'd known anyone convicted of a crime, Backdurf replied, "I had a close friend in high school who killed 17 people." The answer caused the judge to freeze and lawyers to drop their pens. Backdurf then explained how he is a graphic novelist and is about to publish a graphic novel called My Friend Dahmer. He was immediately dismissed from the jury list. You know, one thing you never want to hear from Jeffrey Dahmer is, "What's for dinner?" And those who listen to the segments I do with you or who listen to the Stuff File, you know, the Stuff File gets its share of sick stories, but I think this one is just about as sick as it gets. In Oklahoma, police have arrested 21-year-old Mark Anthony Richardson Jr., who allegedly had a bad habit of fooling babysitters into thinking he was severely autistic and getting them to change his diapers. He told police that he did it for sexual purposes. The babysitters were the babysitters told police he would get sexually aroused when they cleaned him while changing his diapers. Richardson also allegedly grabbed the breast of one babysitter's 18-year-old daughter during an overnight stay in September. Her mother told her to go back to sleep because he did not know what he was doing. Now he faces a felony count of sexual battery and 7 misdemeanor counts of outraging public decency. Richardson, who stands all of 4 feet 9 inches tall, is being held in the Oklahoma County Jail. I'm sure he'll make a whole bunch of new friends there. Prosecutors allege Richardson found his victims from babysitting ads placed online at Craigslist by David, and I'm doing air quotes as I say David, the alleged autistic boy's dad. He would show up on the doorstep of a potential babysitter with $40 and a note typed from David that he needed to be fed. He would be wearing a soiled diaper and very old clothes. He also had a backpack with diapers, ointment, a bottle, and a pacifier. Now, what frightens me here about this story, and there should be a lot, by the way, is the fact that not only did he execute this plan, because that is sick and twisted enough, I would just like to go through the thought process he went through in hatching this scheme. That's a different kind of mind, to say the least, don't you think?
And not just that the babysitters would go, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, exactly.
Ah.
It's the Florence Nightingale in them, I guess. Anyway, While we're on the topic of sickening, it's just sickening to think of a 25-year-old man trying to sexually assault or rape a 71-year-old woman. But that's what happened in Hutchinson, Kansas. Now, I have to say, I do have sensibilities, which is why I don't usually share such stories of sexual assault on the show. As a matter of fact, I never do, and they cross my desk literally, sadly, every week. But I never share them. But in this case, don't worry, because Grandma won and the would-be rapist spent several days in the hospital after his intended victim and her frying pan got through with him. The accused is 25-year-old Kevin Scott Funderbunk, who was jailed on suspicion of attempted rape, aggravated battery, criminal restraint, and criminal damage to property. He allegedly talked his way into the residence of the victim, a 71-year-old female, under the guise he was homeless and had nowhere to go. But once in the home, he reportedly attacked the woman, held her down, and attempted to rape her. But during the struggle, she managed to grab hold of a frying pan and gave him the beat down of the century. Hit him again. Go on, hit him again. Hit him again. Oh, come on, one more time. When police arrived, they found Funderbunk unconscious and lying in his own vomit in the back of the house. Police took him to the hospital where he had to have his scalp stapled. Oh, I just love this woman. Yeah, go, Granny, go. Now, you know, we often like to do, what we often like to do is check to see what the latest entries in the Guinness World Book of Records are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we go to England to visit librarian Graham Barker, who just made it by accumulating 22.1, I want to get the total right because, you know, in case somebody's trying to beat his record, 22.1 grams of belly button lint after harvesting it every day for 26 years. Yep.
Huh?
That's the world record. I didn't know there was an old world record. Anyway, the 45-year-old plucks the fluff while he waits for the shower to warm up. He said the whole process only takes about 10 seconds and has become automatic. I don't need to devote much time or attention to it. The amount of lint he collects each day depends on what clothes he's been wearing, all thermal underwear being the most productive. Amazingly, he's still single.
Oh, surprise, surprise. You know, I really wonder sometimes, like the Guinness Book of World Records, is that really a world record or is that somebody being a loon?
Well, you know, if no one else has more belly button lint than him, ergo, it's a world record.
Oh, that's a little bit disturbing, I have to say.
The proof is in the navel, that's all I can say. Oh. This is just wonderfully satisfying on so many levels, this next story, like the grandma before. Police in San Fernando Valley, California, said a mugger pulled a fake pistol on his intended victim while he was trying to rob him. That didn't work out so well, as the victim took the fake gun from him and then proceeded to beat him bloody with it. Sergeant Jeff Collado said the attempted robbery suspect was beaten so badly he had to be hospitalized. Neither his name nor the victim's name has been released. But Mr. Victim, whoever you are, we salute you, sir. Nice.
Oh, okay. You know, last year Oh, wait a second. Sorry, my brain is not working right now.
Okay. Well, actually, I have a story from your neck of the woods while you get your brain back into gear.
Okay.
Okay. In Taiwan is using an interesting method to make sure their medical students appreciate the value of life. Teenagers at Rende Medical College, are you familiar with that medical college?
I am very familiar with it. It's not too far from where I am.
It's not far from where you are?
No, okay, I could walk there in 20, 25 minutes.
Well, maybe after this story, you won't. Teenagers at Rende Medical College are being buried alive in coffins. No kidding. The students have to write a will, dress in a funeral shroud, and then climb into a coffin while they are buried under floorboards before they are released. Professor Ki Daning explained, although it's just 10 minutes, the effect is equal to real death. Student Chow Lin said, I felt like I was reborn when I came out, and now I know that every second of life counts. So you didn't think every second of life counted before, and you're a medical student? Yeah. Next doctor, please. Thank you.
You know, when I first heard that story, I'm thinking to myself, you know, here they don't bury people, they burn them.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking, like, what would happen if one day there was a mix-up?
Maybe that's the second year.
So you can have a real afterlife experience.
There you go. Now, here's a tip to all people who drive motorhomes.
Oh, I hate those. I hate those.
Yeah, anyway, get to know your motorhome really well. In Florida, a 55-year-old woman suffered serious injuries after she fell out of the motorhome that was zooming down Interstate 10. Now, apparently, Sharon R. Glover walked to the rear of the motorhome to use the restroom, but it's believed she may have opened the wrong door, the one leading to the outside. So she hit the pavement hard and skidded about 100 feet on the paved emergency lane before hitting the grass shoulder. The driver, 50-year-old Bonnie J. Rickett, noticed that Glover had fallen out of the motorhome and pulled off the road about a quarter of a mile away from where she hit the ground. It is believed, by the way, that Ms. Glover may have been drinking.
Oh, really? Well, there we go. I wonder about the driver himself. Peter, we still have a little bit of time. Let's move on to a couple of idiots. Your favorites.
Idiots of the day?
Yes.
I will do that right now. Okay. Willie Eugene Lewis climbed a fence, and posted on the fence was a sign that says, "Danger. Hazardous voltage inside. Keep out." Big capital letters at a power station in Talladega, Alabama. He then climbed onto the equipment, according to Police Chief Alan Watson, and suffered a 40,000-volt shock. Alcohol should not be ruled out as a factor, according to Watson. Lewis then climbed back over the fence and walked to a hospital for help. He was listed in critical condition with burns to 90% of his body. How did he walk is what I want to know. The only specific injury Johnson could bring himself to report was that Willie Lewis burned off his genitals.
Oh.
Thus making the name Willie rather unfortunate for him in the future. Now, if the sign says danger, hazardous voltage, inside, keep out, yet you feel the urge to climb the fence and then touch electrical equipment, well, there's only one reason one would do this, and that's because they're basically an idiot. Okay, now, way to pay attention there, meter maid. This is where the meter maid is the idiot, okay? In Seattle, a parking enforcement officer gave a parking ticket to a dead man who was in the driver's seat of a parked car at the time. Now, the officer had marked cars with chalk at about 9:30 a.m. and then returned just after noon to find one car with the chalk mark still parked in the same place. Since this was a two-hour parking zone, the officer decided a ticket was in order. The driver, a 36-year-old man, appeared to be asleep in the driver's seat, and the officer rapped on the window to wake him up and tell him to move his car, but she got no response. So rather than call for help, or better yet, open the unlocked door, she just assumed the man was sound asleep and put a $42 ticket violation on the car's windshield. About a half hour later, the real police got a call from the man's girlfriend who with a friend had found the car. She called a car dealer to get the vehicle's GPS position. The girlfriend found all four doors unlocked, the sunroof open, and her boyfriend unresponsive, and the parking ticket on the windshield. Seattle fire medics pronounced the man dead at the scene. The cause of death is unknown, and police said there was no sign of violence. A to go there, meter maid. And I got one more idiot of the day for you before we wrap up. Mark Smith, age 59, was arrested at a bank in Watsonville, California in September after he allegedly threatened a teller with a bomb. And by the way, he said in his note, he spelt the word bomb, B-O-M, and $2,000. The teller, apparently skeptical of Smith's toughness, tried to convince him instead to borrow the money and had him wait while she retrieved an application, during which time she called 911. By the time police arrived, Smith had filled out the loan form.
Huh?
There you go. And that's your idiot of the day.
That is quite frightening.
Yes, I thought so too.
Peter Anthony Holder, thank you very much for joining us on the program. You can hear Peter's show by just doing a search for the Stuff File at Google or going to peteranthonyholder.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Anthony Holder, and I would like you to join me for a very eclectic and different kind of radio show. It's called the Stuff File Program. Where else would you get to hear a well-renowned Hollywood acting teacher, a best-selling science fiction writer, a guy who teaches llamas how to be golf caddies, or the man who has Hitler's toilet, all wrapped up with some of the oddest news stories around? It's a rhetorical question. There's only one place. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. There are various ways to catch the show. You can find it at my website at peteranthonyholder.com. Check out my blog at peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. Find it at cyberstationusa.com, radioforall.net, or simply subscribe to it on iTunes. You've forgotten all those places already, haven't you? Okay, just Google the title. It's called The Stuff File Program, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. Catch it, enjoy it, and have a chuckle or two. The Stuff File Program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Radio will never be the same again.
And by the way, you can catch Peter Anthony Holder's show, The Stuff File Program, right here on PCJ Radio on the weekends. Just go to our website, pcjmedia.com, and click on Schedule on the top menu, and you will find out when the program airs, and you can also download it as well. If you go to our website, actually, there's a couple of things that we've added on the homepage. One of them is a special new little New Year's greeting from PCJ. And this year, 2011, is the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Republic of China, otherwise known as Taiwan. And we actually got a very interesting message that came to us from the president's office here in Taiwan, which is up at pcjmedia.com. When you go to the website now, you'll notice, especially Monday to Friday, a radio station starts playing. Well, that is Radio Netherlands Worldwide, and you can choose from any other languages in the little window that you'll see at the bottom of the page. So you can hear Radio Netherlands Worldwide 24 hours a day, 7 days a week via pcjmedia.com, and then our own programming on Saturdays and Sundays. Okay, time now for more music. This is going to be going out to some very good friends who I recently had contact with in Latin America. Unfortunately, guys, I'm sorry, but it would be too long here to mention all of you, but you know who you are. They're in Venezuela, some of you are in Ecuador, Colombia, Mexico, and quite recently, one of you wanted to have some songs from Tom Meyer, and hopefully you got the files that I sent you. So we're going to take a listen to a little bit of Tom Meyer right now, going out to all our friends in Latin America with Formi Formidable on the International Happy Station.
You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. You are my love, very, 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 véritable. Et je voudrais pouvoir enfin un jour te le dire, te l'écrire dans la langue de Shakespeare, my Daisy. Daisy, Daisy, désirable. Je suis malheureux d'avoir si peu de mots à t'offrir en cadeau. Darling, I love you, darling, I want you. Et puis c'est à peu près tout. You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. But how can you see me, see me, see me, see me noble? Je ferais mieux d'aller choisir mon vocabulaire pour te plaire dans la langue de Molière. Toi, tes eyes, ton nose, tes lips, adorable. Tu n'as pas compris, tant pis, ne t'en fais pas. Viens temps dans mes bras, darling. I love you, darling. I want you. Et puis le reste, on s'en fout. You are the one for me, for me, for me, formidable. Je me demande même pourquoi je t'aime, toi qui te moques de moi et de tout, avec ton air canaille, canaille, canaille. How can I love you?
Tom Iyer and Formi Formidable. From a CD that, if I can reach it, and yes, there it is. There's nothing inside because the disc part is in the control room, but I have the box. It's called Easy Come, Easy Go. There's a few of our listeners out there who did receive a copy of this. And there was something else, Kevin. Yes, there was. Well, I don't remember what it was because I left my notes in the control room on the other side. But hopefully, I'll remember to go after the next song to go and pick it up. Now, I wanted to mention one thing because somebody was asking about this the other day. Somebody said, do you record the show in one take? Actually, yes, we do. We record the show in real time. So if you're listening to 55 minutes, it takes exactly 55 minutes for us to do it. And they also go on saying, have you ever thought of voice tracking? Well, we actually have done that on certain occasions. Usually if I'm going to be doing some traveling and I have to record, say, two or three shows back to back, that will say have long pieces in them, I will come into the studio, record my voice and then leave. And then Kevin will mix it together. Now we don't do that very often. I think since 2009, I think we've done that four times. Do I like doing that? The answer is no. I find it extremely boring and I really can't get into it. And I try to have to, you know, between tracks or whatever, try to sound, oh, yes, that was really fun and whatever. And, well, I really don't like doing it that way. So, yes, we record the show in real time as if we are doing it live, which we do live occasionally from time to time. There are going to be a couple more live shows this year than we did last year. And we have some coming up in the month of February. Now, I want to tell you, take a moment to tell you about next week's show. Next week's show, my special guest is going to be Russ Davis of Jazz America on The Voice of America. Now, we actually did a very, very long interview. We're only going to bring you part of the interview here on the Happy Station Show. But the full interview, including some wonderful music, will be used in Jazz for the Asking, in the next edition of Jazz for the Asking, in about a week's time. So, next week here on Happy Station, my special guest, Russ Davis of the VOA's Jazz America. Time now for another song. A moment ago, we heard Tom Iyer, and a few of you have said, Keith, we know that you sing, and can you play more of your music on the show? Well, believe it or not, the songs that I have recorded, I don't own them. There's a few that I own, but most of them I don't own, and I can't play them until the rights come back to me. And the reason why these are recorded, because I do a TV show in Japan, and occasionally I have to sing on the program, which I find extremely difficult to do, because I am in no way a trained singer or anything like that. But I think I do my best, and hopefully, you know, nobody switches off their sets. This is one that we did this past summer with the NHK Symphony, well, the big band part of the NHK Symphony, and we recorded the track before, and then we filmed it. Now, the reason why we do that, because the video part that we filmed in the Ginza area in Tokyo. And if you're going to do that, to bring a whole orchestra with you as you're walking around the Ginza is a little bit difficult. So we recorded it in the studio, and then 2 weeks later, we filmed it in Tokyo, and basically I had to mime to my own voice, which is a lot more difficult than you may think. Yes, it is a lot more difficult than you may think. Anyway, here's yours truly with On a Wonderful Day Like Today. There are a few flat notes, and that's because I had a terrible head cold the day that we recorded this. with the NHK Big Band, which is part of the NHK Symphony Orchestra, on a wonderful day like today, and it was composed by the wonderful Anthony Newley.
On a wonderful day like today, I defy any cloud to appear in the sky, dare any raindrop to pop in my eye. On a wonderful day like today, on a wonderful morning like this, when the sun is as big as a yellow balloon, even the sparrows are singing in tune. On a wonderful morning like this, on a morning like this, I could kiss everybody. I'm so full of love and goodwill. Let me say furthermore, I adore everybody. So come and dine, the pleasure is mine, and I will pay the bill. May I take this occasion to say that the whole human race should go down on its knees, show that we're grateful for mornings like these, for the world's in a wonderful way, on a wonderful day like today. Like this, I could kiss everybody. I'm so full of love and goodwill. Let me say furthermore, I adore everybody. To come and dine, the pleasure's gonna be mine. I'm gonna pay the bill, wee wee, ha ha. May I take this occasion to say that the whole human race should go down on its knees, show that we're grateful for mornings like these, for the world's in a wonderful way, on a wonderful day like today.
And that was yours truly with On a Wonderful Day Like Today. When I listen to that, I go, blech. Yes, yes. Anyway, we still have time for one more piece of music. This is actually a request for a listener of ours in Nairobi, Kenya. His name is George. Just George. He just signed his letter. George, he says he enjoys the program very much and tries to listen to it whenever he can. Can we play something by James Last and his orchestra? In particular, he wanted to hear, well, a number of songs by James Last. And the one actually that we did dig up right away was the Orange Blossom Special. So going out to you, George, in Nairobi, Kenya, James Last and the Orange Blossom Special here on the International Happy Station. James Last and his orchestra with the Orange Blossom Special going out to George, who listens to us on Medium Wave in Nairobi, Kenya. And if you have a song that you would like to hear played on the program, as you know, we will play almost anything. I say that, almost anything. We had some requests that came in, by the way, which were not exactly appropriate. And when I read further, I realized that they were just sending out random emails to radio stations wanting to hear all kinds of things. They never even listened to this show, just from the comments, actually, that they made. It was very, very peculiar. Anyway, go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com. Click on Email Keith, or you can send us an email directly to pcjmedia@gmail.com. And just make sure you put Happy Station Show in the subject headline. Anyway, we are out of time. As they say, that's it, that's all. So on behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, who did a marvelous job, and Johan Backer, who's not here today because he's actually still on holiday back in the Netherlands, this is Keith Perron, all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Is the son of PCJJ.
We would very much appreciate your comments and questions about our programming here at PCJ Radio. You can contact us via email at pcjradio@gmail.com. Once again, that's pcjmedia@gmail.com. We also invite you to visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and listen to all our programs. You can either download them from the website directly or subscribe to all our programs in iTunes at www.pcjmedia.com. And while you're at our website, do take part in the Happy Station Show Friendship Sponsorship Program. There are three levels: silver for $1, gold for $5, and platinum for $10. The selection is yours. This is PCJ Radio.